Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. All right, Keyshawn, have you seen Westworld?
No, I've only watched the first episode.
Okay, that's all right.
Am I shitting on your podcast now?
No, we should really wait for Riyadh.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got hours of theories.
Well, I would be done with it, but I'm waiting on my wife. I'm trying to get her to watch the first episode so we can just binge it, and he's taking too long, so I blame her.
Now, you are watching The Crown, though.
Yes.
Okay. I have not begun to watch The Crown.
Look, it's, like British royalty hoo-ha, and I'm enjoying it. So that's a true testament to how good it is.
Bruha. Hoo-ha is a very different thing.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
That's Game of Thrones.
That's a brouhaha. Those get two ha's.
All right. Well, I suspect we got a bunch of crap that we are going to talk about. So I'm going to open it up, but we're doing the quick version of the intro. I'm Cyrus. I draw things. RisingInProductions.tumblr.com. Ariel does kung fu. Keyshawn likes Star Wars.
And I sing things.
And he sings things.
Yes, he does.
What kind of things do you sing?
Oh, have you not heard?
I have.
Why don't you tell him?
So Key decided to I don't know the origin story of why you decided to make the song, but
104.9 The Horn, a local radio show here in Austin, they have an annual contest where you write Christmas carols, and you can perform it or just write it and send it to them, and they'll perform them if they think they're good.
I see. So you performed an entire UT 2016 football season kind of medley song where you just went over everything.
Yes.
Okay, so I did see a tweet about this. Okay. So
check it out on SoundCloud.
Was it spelled with an umpty?
No. It's actually a parody of Merry Christmas from the Family by Robert Earl Keen, which I think is totally appropriate for an Austin-centric song.
I understood only Austin in that whole sentence, but that's okay. Well, I'm centric. I understand what center is. Well, since we're kind of talking about the Longhorns, are we excited for Tom Herman?
Yes.
If the song would have us believe.
Well, now the song really didn't weigh in on.
I guess so. Yeah.
It just kind of said that's what the horns think.
And don't forget the tagline at the end. It's my favorite. Oh, you still suck.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
It wouldn't be a Christmas song without that. Don't y'all end all your songs with "Oh, you sucks"?
Just my prayers.
Well, you know, as bad as the Longhorns were, you can only be excited for anything else. And I was a Charlie Strong apologist, so he lost me.
Someone should apologize for him.
Three block kicks, and we lost to Kansas. So, yeah, he had to go, and I'm excited about anything else. I don't care who they hire. I'd be excited.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, we're recording during the second half of the Tampa-Dallas game. The Cowboys seem to have it well in hand.
Yep.
Well, enough for us to do a podcast.
Now, I'm sure Ariel probably knows the medical term for this, so I'm waiting for him to say it. But you know when you're playing Tetris a lot and then you start like thinking Tetris all the time, you start dreaming about it, and then everything gets tainted with your Tetris views as you're playing Tetris so much. I have been playing Mario Run. I don't know if you guys have played it yet, but essentially just like a one-handed Mario game. Imagine if you took your left hand off the controller and all you could do was jump, and he just runs to the right. And now everything I watch with, whether it be football all day today or anything, I feel like they can only go one direction And it's interesting that they can turn and go the different direction.
Yeah. You're surprised that they're ambi-turners?
Yes. And I think that's the Tetris effect, but from Mario Run, that you can only go to the right.
So you're Derek Zoolander now because of this goddamn game.
Yes.
I played the first level. I didn't buy the full game, but I do have it on my iPad. I intend to play it later.
I rage quit when I found out you could play three levels, and then it was $10, so it's not really free.
Yeah.
And I was going to steadfastly stay away, but then my children sniffed Mario. And as soon as that was in, it was just, I was like, I will pay $10 to shut them up.
That's how they get you.
But not $10 to the Nintendo for a product well made. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. I would like to thank you, Cyrus, for uttering the words, "The Cowboys have it well in hand." That guaranteed a touchdown within 30 seconds.
Did I just damn them?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you did. Tampa Bay just caught a miracle score bouncing off our defender's hands into their receiver's hands as he fell. So, yes.
Perfect.
Good job damning them.
That's okay. They'll feed the Zeke.
I hope so. We need to get more Salvation Army Zeke.
That was amazing.
That was a Christmas miracle. I mean, you know, you want to talk about if we do go to the Super Bowl and win, that thing's going to be – that'll be there forever.
No. Allow me to damn another team. Giants-Patriots is going to happen again.
Oh, I know, this
in my heart, and I'm just sick about it.
You don't think that maybe we were holding stuff back against in that Giants game, other than the fact that we're letting them listen to us?
Yeah, we were holding back third down conversions.
Well, yeah. I'm just curious if they were throwing it.
No, I think that Giants defense is a top five unit, at least, maybe better. And Eli, just his ability to pull things right out of his ass.
Eli Manning is a son of a bitch.
Oh, God, yes, he is. And he's never looked worse, and yet they've never won more games inexplicably at the same time.
Hasn't that been always the case? God.
Yes, he's
a Dorian Gray, the portrait of Dorian Gray of the team. The worse he looks, the better they are.
I will never forgive Eli Manning, or no, excuse me, NBC for putting his dumb O face at the beginning of the Sunday Night Football montage.
Oh yeah. You get it every week, right?
Every week. Whose idea was that? I want to punch that person.
Yeah, New Yorker. That's East Coast bias.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it with dread certainty they're going to somehow wind up in that game.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I know literally anybody else I'd be okay with.
Do you guys remember 4 or 5 years ago when the Patriots ran up the score on the Cowboys? Like 60-something to 3 or... some horrible. Okay,
no.
I remember how bad it was.
That's UCLA, Texas, actually.
No. Oh. Well, yeah. But I'm pretty sure New England did it too. They like even went for it on like fourth down, and they were up by 40 points.
That was,
like that.
I think you're referring to the 18-1 season where Dallas was also very good. It wasn't a beatdown. Dallas hung with them for 3.5 quarters.
I can't remember. I just
but they did run up the score. The game was in hand, and they were still trying to pound it in there.
No, that was it.
That's when America turned against the Patriots, frankly.
Yeah.
Was that, hope, not that game, that season.
My hope, our vengeance is this year and that we can beat them in the Super Bowl to ruin what I guess would be – if it's not Brady's last year, we're getting real close.
You have to figure he's 39. But, man, I was watching Baltimore highlights. That dude was just like a sniper with that football still.
Oh, yeah.
Can't stand him. Good quarterback. Great one, actually.
He's not slowing down.
Nope. But, man, when it comes, and it's coming, it can go fast, too.
Well, I've heard on the radio a lot of talk about Belichick making a lot of moves. He's doing a lot of trading around. Now, this is more than normal, I guess. It looks like he's stacking up for something near term. And it seems to me like if Brady's retirement's looming, Belichick's trying to go for the gold one last time before he's out.
Well, I'm thinking of, speaking of football things I'm sick about, I can't wait for Cleveland to give a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo here next year.
I know. It's
going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
And in one fell swoop, still the Browns, still the Patriots.
Yep.
Someone bring me a table so I can flip it.
God bless the Browns. They've been my only solid thing to pick all year long. My cousin does a lot of betting.
They're playing like solid Brown.
My cousin, Dr. Wood, betting on the Pick'em League, and the Cleveland Browns have been a steady pick, so I love them.
I wonder at this point what their lines in Vegas must be to get you to like bet on that goddamn team.
They're big.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, the Cowboys just fumbled in reverse. Jesus, Mortizavi, you've killed them.
Yep, I'm glad you have your to tell me these things. That's good stuff.
Well, yeah, Garrett's doing his slow clap after a horrible screw up. I mean,
oh no, I thought that was gone forever.
No, it's been making an appearance in the last 5 minutes.
Oh boy,
you brought it back. You really fucked him over, son of a bitch.
You know what the Herald was when Dan Bailey missed two field goals in one game.
That was the Herald, and then you capped it off with
yep.
the axe to the neck.
Yep.
They've got it well in hand.
All right. Well, speaking of things where everybody got killed, let's talk about Rogue One, a sad war story.
Oh, both hell yeah.
Spoilers.
Don't worry, I'll spoiler tag the episode. I think most of the audience knows not to listen to the episode, or unless they've imbibed these things we discuss. Because we give no fucks. Yeah,
how many times have you guys seen it?
Just once for me.
Once, but it feels like seven. Does that count? Yeah, Key, it's only fair that you take point on this one. How would you tell us about Rogue One Star Wars? Sorry.
It's a tale of woe. It's a brutal tale of woe. I wish I was a blind Chinese man. When I grow up, I would like to be a blind Chinese man. I think if you just go into it knowing this, then everything else is just don't concentrate on how everybody dies. Instead, think about the blind Chinese badass, and you'll come out happy. That's how I did it the second time around. The first time I was devastated. No, I loved it. I had a blast. I liked it more the second time because, again, I was just like, holy Jesus, they killed all the good guys. And I was really just like, I didn't think they'd do it. I thought that they would have some, well-written, this is why we never see them again. But the adult part of me was like, no, you're going in there to watch these people die. And I was right.
Yeah.
Ooh, brutal. Just brutal. But an awesome story, well-written. It didn't seem contrived to me. But again, I'm the target audience, so it's hard to tell. Non-biased, I guess. Hell, I was making excuses for episode one for 24 hours until I realized it sucked. So I can't say too much.
The Phantom Menace was testament to how strong we were all for Star Wars as a culture. That for 6 months we gave that fetid piece of shit a pass.
Yeah.
Like we literally didn't realize it was terrible yet. It's amazing. In retrospect, it's just one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
So an interesting thing, I would love to see a pie chart that shows how many people, after watching Rogue One, had to go home and immediately watch A New Hope to make themselves feel good again. Like a soothing balm.
Hmm.
And it also feels kind of sad that the three people that stood on the backs of all of our newfound friends are the ones that get the medals and our buddies don't get shit. They all die. They don't even get recognized.
Well, I assume they named Rogue Squadron after them, but that's never said at any point.
Rogue Squadron's never mentioned, is it?
Not until
Rogue Empire Squadron. Strikes Back.
Help me out.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, it's Empire Strikes Back, and you get Rogue Two, and it's some fat ass flying a snowspeeder. Right? And it's like, well, that's a letdown after Rogue One.
No, it wasn't fat. It was just that speeder was like, the size of a fucking Mini Cooper.
It was the gremlin of speeders, okay?
Yeah, it took me a little bit because it took me a little bit because, having grown up with the first time ever seeing an AT-AT and the amazing destruction that occurred with it and how difficult it was to kill them and how the snow speeders struggled for so long to destroy those things. And then
a bunch of X-Wings just come in and take care of business.
Exactly. Sorry, my child ran in here and promptly ran right into a door. So I had to mute it for a second. While my wife yelled out, Jesus! I got off my train of thought, but yes, that's exactly where I was going. It's like, oh no, here come the big AT-ATs. Oh, the X-Wings can destroy them like butter. Just knife some butter. Whoosh! Just no problem. And really, if you're only watching the film, you know, that's it for it. But if you look at there's a lot of extra material in books and whatnot, and it turns out these are like walkers that are meant for just like carrying heavy stuff and not for a battle. They just have a couple of guns. They have a couple of guns on the front, but otherwise they're actually a different like brand of walker, which is why they have like the yellow on the side.
Oh, so they're like the Hydrox cookies instead of the old true Oreos.
Exactly. There you go.
Got it.
And because otherwise I was just
so Grandmaster Picel, when he attacked Hoth, he had like the executive holy shit ATTs.
Yes. Exactly. And it really made me, for at least a little while I was watching the movie, I was just like, man, the snow speeders were shit. Why were they even using those things? Why, like you said, they were the gremlins.
It's a broke-ass rebellion, dude.
Yeah, well, no kidding, but they had X-Wings, and you watch an X-Wings just chew through those sons of bitches. No, we're going to use these. That'll make for a better plot.
Well, that was just, you know, the covering force, right?
Yes. So, let's see.
By the way, just wondering aloud here, has anyone ever spent this much time discussing the military strategy behind the retreat from Hoth? I'm going to say no.
I don't think so. I don't know. I did a lot when I was a kid. When you didn't have much Star Wars at all, hell yeah, you broke that shit down. Every iteration and replay you possibly can. So let's see. What was badass about it? Certainly seeing a lot of the old characters and how they plumbed the depths of the archives of old footage.
There was a lot of delicious Easter eggs.
Oh, there sure
was. Oh, yeah.
First one was the blue milk. That was nice. I am betting good money that you guys probably don't watch Star Wars Rebels.
I know about Saw Gerrera from there, but I haven't watched enough Rebels to make sense of other things.
He was from the older cartoon, Clone Wars.
Oh, so he's coming to Rebels then. Maybe that's what I read recently.
Yeah, he's coming to Rebels, yeah. But
can I actually let me, since we're touching on it, I want to stop you for a second and ask a couple questions regarding Forrest Whitaker's character. Number one, what the fuck? And number two, what the hell?
Okay.
What was that guy's deal? I never got his fucking name. What was it? Saw Palmetto?
Close.
Sigourney Weaver?
Saw Gerrera.
Okay.
You got to, essentially think of what would start as a normal man growing up through the Clone Wars and then this shit, and essentially trying to lead his own rebellion before the rebellion became the real rebellion. I want to use rebellion.
So when did he rebel against his legs and tape a CPAP machine to his chest?
So the idea is that poor people can't get the Darth Vader treatment. They're going to have to get your own homebrew shit going on.
They didn't have an imperial healthcare coverage.
Yeah, that's right.
He's on Medicaid. And he doesn't get the milk bath that Vader gets.
No single payer for the Rebel Alliance.
by the time they get to Saw Gerrera in the Clone Wars, they pretty much the first year or two of that show were kind of for the kids. And there's a lot of Jar Jar, a lot of droids, and you know, funny episodes. But they were smattered with more adult topic episodes as well.
Like paying for reputations.
When they got to season 3, 4, and 5, they shed the kid part completely and just went to town. And really, I mean, it's amazingly good show. After you, and if they ever, if you ever even see a hint of Jar Jar, you just skip that episode, and you'll be just fine. And it was designed that way. And well, by the time they get to the last season, they were just doing this heartbreaking shit. And if you watch that show, you're like, oh, this is why the Clone Wars were so bad and so brutal. And it's really just a really good, like, what you thought episodes two and three would be before you ever saw the prequels. It's like, oh, they're going to show the Clone Wars. This is going to be brutal. And they never did in the films. You only get how it started and then how it ended. You never see anything about it. And it's all in that show. And you see basically Saw Gerrera, he starts as a normal man, like, oh, well, we're trying to fight whatever this is that's going on. And then you see all of his friends and family destroyed, but through backstabbing and evil crap and everything else. And he's left with nothing but the fight. And then you don't see, I don't recall seeing him lose his legs or anything of that bad, but I have to go back and watch it. I haven't been trying to go back and watch those episodes. But assumedly, some shit has happened to that man.
I felt like I was watching a caricature of, like, Colonel Kurtz from Heart of Darkness, like, crossed with Reed James from Chappelle's Show.
Oh.
Wow.
And I just mentally didn't know what to do with it. I was glad when they killed him.
No, I was. It was more.
You left me in a hole with a knife when I was 16. That was weeks ago, motherfucker.
Yes. What's the name of the? There's another Guerrero that. This is bad that I just can't remember it off the top of my head. The revolutionary. It might not have been Guerrero. What was his name? Che Guerrero.
You mean Che Guevara.
Yes. There you go.
I knew where you were going, but I was laughing so hard I couldn't get it out.
I honestly think they were doing a little bit of that too. And from what I understand, they had to do major reshoots of the movie. And if you've noticed, hardly any of the first trailer ended up in the movie.
Right.
Hardly any of it. And the big rumor is that the movie was actually too dark, and Disney made them go back and lighten it up.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
And
well, that begs the question: how did they convince Disney that that was in any way at all light?
Well,
I guess the robot was funny, but
how you
that's
do it,
not
how
it.
You do it. How you do it is you go really, really dark, and then Disney says, "No, you can't do that." So then you pull out a few things, and then that's quote unquote lighter, you know. And if you remember, there's little hints that there was worse stuff that was done. Saw Gerrera's his group, I'm pretty sure that they were going to come off as like terrorists
had a very Taliban Mujahideen feel to them.
Yeah, well, it was a much more hardcore than what they ended up showing.
Yeah.
And the hint of that is when Jin and Kate, what's the guy's name? Kason?
K2SO? The robot?
K2SO and the guy. What was the guy's name? Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
No, he's just doing impersonation. It was Diego something or other, Valdez, I want to say.
Diego Luna, I think, is the actor. But
the character thing starts with a C. I just can't remember the name of it. But they come walking.
Listen, I learned no names in this film.
Cassian Andor.
Cassian, thank you. Well, when they come walking into the clearing and there's a wreck and all the storm, they kind of turn the corner and all the stormtroopers are standing there waiting on them K2 tries to talk his way out of it. They're going to prison, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you look behind them, there's a downed X-wing, and which leads there to believe that there was actually a much bigger attack. There was a lot of fighting going on with the destroyer up above and everything else, and it was a bigger battle than they cut all that out because it made Saw Gerrera's group too bad. So they cut a lot of that out. But you see the evidence of it with a downed X-Wing. At no point did you ever see anything about an X-Wing or anything up in the sky flying around. But it was there, and you could see it right there in the movie. And they just never explained it. And a lot of folks are interpreting that to mean, hey, there was a lot cut there. And also...
That would suggest that Saul Palmetto's backstory actually was probably more prominently featured as well. And that's why... I'm so confused about what the hell that was supposed to be.
Well, yeah, even in the trailer, that the big line that he had in the trailer, in the very first trailer, was something about freedom or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's nowhere to be seen in the movie either.
No, he does three things. He pulls her out of the hole, then he leaves her in a hole. I guess, and hang on, I guess four things. Then he sticks the mind of Hinte monster on the pilot, because I don't know why.
Right.
And then he, like, just decides, I'm out, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah, I really don't get, I'm going to things to pick on, but I'm really just trying to think of it in chronological order. But, yeah, I didn't really get the whole why they needed a giant red booger monster to suck your feelings and your thoughts and truth out of your brain. Yeah, it really didn't do shit, nor did it change shit, because it was like, what did he even need to do it for? He could watch the thing and decide for himself it was Galen. You know, so he had the message.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. That's why he was all Colonel Kurtz.
I know. It's just no reason other than maybe just to say, well, he's crazy. Honestly, the first time I saw the movie, I thought that he had drugs in the aerator. And so, because you'd notice he'd be,
I guarantee he had drugs in the aerator. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Well, I mean, he got extra crazy after you take a suck on that thing. You know, he just stuck on it and was like, are you here to kill me? And but you got to admit, he did a great job of acting crazy. I mean, that was some crazed Forrest Whitaker performance right there. That was not no normal like, you get your normal crazy that's not that well acted, you know, which is just stupid crazy. That was some legit good crazy going on. Forrest Whitaker went with that hairdo. he worked that shit.
Did he work it, or did he just let nature take its course, it looked like?
Oh, the second time I watched it, I honestly thought there's going to be an animated GIF at some point of Jen turning around the corner and seeing that haircut and making the face she made when she saw him. Like, oh, goddamn, he was fucked up.
I got to say, I didn't expect there to be this much talk about Saul Guerrero in our breakdown.
Listen,
of the movie.
I have hours of questions. I'll let it go for the sake of the audio, but oh man.
Well, so that Star Wars Rebels, there's a lot of characters in there, and there's a the ship from it's in there, so you know they're fighting in the fight. They there's a broadcast that's over the loudspeaker at Yavin 4, and they're calling out for one of the characters' names there, and then you see one of the characters, the robot, actually in the film. And so that's what you were talking about, hundreds of Easter eggs. There's even more that you don't know about unless you've watched the kids show. And you think, oh, nobody's going to notice that, man. My kids were all over it. They're like, cool. Oh, my God, did you hear that?
Very cool.
But they have young eyes. They can catch that shit quickly. It took me two films.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
So let's see. They really – the only misstep I thought was having Walrus Man and Dr. Evazan in there. I'm like, is the universe really that small? That,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about unlucky? Those villages were there.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to.
That's a great point.
Let's go to Tatooine.
Yeah, they really got a little too precious with some of that stuff. I mean, I enjoyed the Easter eggs, but like, that one, for example, was just too heavy-handed.
I thought that was the only one that was too heavy-handed. I thought everything else was just fine for what they were telling, and given that it's literally, you know, days before episode 4, you know, to have the lead, you know, the red leader, gold leader, they got old footage of those guys that was
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fantastic.
I love that. I have to admit, I giggled like nobody's business at Red 5 going, this is Red 5, I need help.
And we're like, no, man, you're fucked.
there's a reason you got replaced.
There's the spot. There's Luke's spot. we need a man. Yeah. Man down. Oh, man. I was so giddy at that. That was just great. And then, you know, I probably should have thought of this, but I didn't really. You know, there's always been kind of that glaring question of how the hell did the Empire leave a little shaft that could destroy the whole fucking thing. And them to smartly address that and actually make the whole damn movie about that, I never thought of that before going in.
It's very clever.
Yeah, it was.
More and so also, than when they made the quipment at The Force Awakens about how they always have a weakness.
Right, yeah. And, you know, there's always a map lying around. That was great.
But how
they moved the characters from place to place. You know, in the prequels, it's so heavy-handed and nonsensical half the time. And so you've seen a lot of it done badly. But in this movie, I honestly felt that that was one of the strongest points of the whole thing, of moving characters from point A to point B and how they, you know, gathered up the characters as it went and it naturally evolved. Boy, that was probably my favorite part of the whole movie, was that. Because it really felt like a movie and not just, okay, we got to tell a Star Wars story and we got to make all these things happen.
I got to say, I don't wholly agree, because I felt like at times they did cross that line you're describing. But for the most part, yeah, they did stay on the right side of that.
Where do you think they didn't?
The end. I didn't care for the fact that apparently I thought this was like, you know, days or out, you know, days or, you know, weeks before episode 4. It turns out it's about 6 minutes.
Right.
I thought that was a little lame.
Well, if you go back and look at the opening crawl for episode 4, it flat out states exactly mm-hmm. what happened at the end. The whole thing about striking from a secret base, the rebel fleet, spies had stolen it. I can't remember the scroll.
A stunning victory, I believe, is how they termed it.
Yeah, the first victory. So it implied that the rebels had already had their first victory.
Mm-hmm.
And son of a gun. So you thought it was going to be weeks before and not you didn't like it.
Well, not just God, literally immediately before.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like the next episode begins and you're in episode 4.
Yeah.
Like of the TV, as if it were a TV show.
Yeah, we're gonna go to commercial for a minute, and then let's do this.
You know, it also changes. I was reading about this. I kind of agree on the interwebs that it does change sort of the feel of the beginning of episode 4, because now you kind of know that Vader watched them escape.
Yeah, he ain't buying that shit. About
yeah, he's like, this is bullshit. Yeah,
when well, that's a great in, point,
and they're like. We're a diplomatic mission. Yeah, he's like, dude, fuck you. I saw you leave. I looked out at space and watched
you.
You're
part of the Rebel Alliance.
I already murdered half of you.
Yeah, exactly. I got the singe marks on my saber still from you other assholes.
I got blood all over me.
Yeah. You know, it's like.
I still read
I didn't even think about that. That's a great point. That's another great point for why they shouldn't have done it that way.
Oh, no, I love it.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. It's just. Changes a movie that's what almost 40 years old now.
It changes a lot of it, because I mean, think about it. Not only does it change your view of how when he comes in there and interacts with Leia, but when Obi-Wan talks about
Commander Dipshit number one.
No, Tarkin when in the original movie, when Tarkin says that their light's been snuffed out of the universe. The Jedi's light's been snuffed out of the universe. They're literally talking about how the last vestige of the Jedi, which was Jeddah, was destroyed. It changes what he's saying there. And then also, when Obi-Wan, you can't help but think that if Jeddah was destroyed, chances are Obi-Wan and Yoda knew it.
Of course they would have.
Yeah.
Right. And so...
I actually feel like it robs... the destruction of Alderaan of some of its punch.
Yeah, I think
this single
bit.
Battery bullshit.
Yeah,
I didn't care for that at all. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I agree, but part of me's like, you know, who's getting that bang for their buck at this point with Star Wars? You know, you already saw that 30 years ago. No one new's gonna watch it and go, oh well, that's not near as exciting anymore. You know, everybody's seen it. Now, I guess if you're talking about for the children, I can kind of understand that, because the children that watch it in order. But I would argue, well, hey. That
was just supposed to be a really big moment. It is a really big moment.
Yeah.
But not if it's like the third time they shot the motherfucker.
But they destroyed the whole planet as opposed to.
It's true, but that's a little bit unsatisfying argument to me.
Here's another way it changes it. Vader was just toying with Obi-Wan when they fought.
What do you mean?
Look at what Vader did to those poor motherfuckers in that hallway. I mean, okay.
Okay.
Now, are you telling me that 6 minutes, well, not 6 minutes, but probably a day
probably later, about 90 minutes later.
Yeah. I was trying to go with Cyrus's number, but God damn it. But whatever it is, whether it's 90 minutes or a day, but Vader's going to face off against Obi-Wan pretty soon after that.
And they have the old man cat fight. I know what you're
exactly.
talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I think it changes it completely. I think it's no longer, you can't say, well, they're having an old man cat fight anymore. That's just Vader toying with Obi-Wan. And when he says, yeah. Your powers are weak, old man, but he never really does anything that looks any more badass than what Obi-Wan does. And it's because Vader was toying with him the whole time. And I love that.
I'm torn on that. The explanation, at least always in my headcanon, if you will, for Vader not being the badass he is in the, you know, as Anakin, is that he was basically a paraplegic riding around in an iron lung for three movies. On the other hand, watching him just like a force of fucking nature tear through all those Alderaan soldiers was pretty cool.
Yeah, fuck yes.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It definitely
Jason
changes
Voorhees
it.
With a lightsaber.
I just can't ever get around 1970s fight choreography. So for me, that's sort of a mental, you know, discontinuity. Like, I just know that this lightsaber fight sucks because they couldn't hire someone to choreograph it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. But
no
like
money.
I think it's a retrofit that at least is a better headcanon
yeah.
going into the future.
Like the whole movie, really. I mean, the whole movie is sort of designed around that, right? It's like this odd shaped puzzle piece that they shoved in to like make everything work. And they
yeah,
did a great
they,
job.
They,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I think it improved four. I do agree with Cyrus. I don't like that they fired the Death Star a few times beforehand. But on the whole, the other puzzle pieces.
It was like when you have a hammer.
Can you imagine? So like if in Cyrus's timeline, it's like this whole thing happens and then they'd have immediately episode four. You think at the end of episode four, Darth Vader sits down. He's like... dear diary, man, I chased these guys.
Well, he was by himself on the ship, right? He had time to do that. Vader's log. Still going.
It's a long-ass day. I keep chasing these motherfuckers, and this other guy, Krennic, kept fucking things up, so he got obliterated.
You guys have seen that robot chicken skit about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Vader calls the Emperor right afterwards.
Yeah.
So I also read another theory on the interwebs, and it's I don't know that it's perfectly clear, but if you recall in episode four, when they talk about the tracking device on the ship.
Yeah.
Huh.
So was it the tracking device on the Millennium Falcon, or was it a tracking device on the Tantive?
I don't know.
Yeah, and there's a debate online saying that it could have been that's what was going on. That the whole thing was set up to get at the bigger base for the rebels, which and it was Vader's plot all along to do just that. So it wasn't that he couldn't get them, but that it was a
long con.
Yeah, well they were taking a risk for a greater reward type of thing. Although my thought is that they still didn't know what the flaw was. They never did find out what – they just knew that the plans were out.
Yeah, because they blew up the damn city.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Heaven forfend you take a minute to figure out what they took. Blow it up.
Another part that made me really happy was that you know, that last scene when Krennic's laying there on top of the spire and he looks up and sees his own gun that he built aimed right at him by his enemy. And when the Death Star fires, I know you don't like that they fired it, but before it struck the planet and destroyed the entire city, it went through Krennic and the top of that spire. Did y'all
sure.
happen to notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that made me happy. That was... You know, they didn't have to do that. They were blowing up the whole plant, the whole city anyway. So, and just to put it right through that spire just was like the cherry on top.
Right on.
How did you guys feel about CGI Peter Cushing?
It was a little unsettling at times, I got to say.
Yeah, it's the eyes. I think everything else was fine. I watched episode 4 last night, and it was actually closer. The rest of his face was actually really close to his face.
I couldn't stand it. It was like a needle in my eye.
That
dude is not there. That is not a real human being.
Well, it was a real human being.
Just stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
But it was a real human being. It
wasn't Peter Cushing.
Well, that's true, but it was
40 years ago.
So they were they you know, regardless of they did have a real human there, and then they did the editing of the face, and I think the eyes are where they screwed it up. But even then, when the eyes weren't moving, it was great. It was just when the eyes moved that it was like, no, that's still not quite right. But it was close enough that I could kind of cross my eyes and be happy that Grand Moff Tarkin was there.
That character deserved better. They should have just recast it.
Mm. I don't know. I don't think you can recast it with 6 minutes difference.
Well, they had more than 6 minutes to cast it.
They could have. No, I mean, they,
6 minutes elapsed.
Another thing they could have done was done the CGI, like the holographic. He could have been talking via hologram the whole time.
You're right there, and that would have.
That's a nice move.
That would have been perfect, but yeah. I'm okay with it.
And Leia
honestly,
at the end too.
We've seen shittier stuff in Star Wars movies going back to the originals.
Oh yeah.
So
not digging those digital devils yet.
Shit. Watch Yoda and Empire Strikes Back. While it's incredibly well done, there's still some shit, you know. And if I got to put up with a little bit of weird eyes, I'm still okay with it. And Princess Leia.
I think what bothered me about it was what Ariel described, the idea that you could just ride around it pretty easily. There was no need to go that way, given how little. I mean, Tarkin really he's there to chastise Krennic, and then he just blows everything up because he's a power bender.
Yeah. At the same time, when has Star Wars ever shied away from a special effect? You know, if anybody's going to try and do it, it's going to be them.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least in the George Lucas days.
The answer is all those early films. Lucas was very aware of what he could not do. You turned me on to a conversation between him and Spielberg plotting out Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were solving, like, all their budgetary problems.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's part of the reason I would argue the prequels were so bad is Lucas went nuts when he had, you know, what he thought in his head was, you know, all the tools he finally needed.
Right.
I mean, even the special editions of the originals.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right? There's just shit everywhere all of a sudden.
Right.
Except a story. Nary a story to be found.
Oh, burn.
On the whole, though, do you realize that they didn't film any of that on a beach?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured most of it wasn't, but I'm surprised to hear that zero of it was.
In England. They brought in sand and digitally enhanced palm trees. That shit's amazing.
Dang.
Right. I'm like, my God, I can't believe that.
Cool.
That was, so, you know, again, I think if the only failure of the special effects were, I think, the eyes. That's really what did it for me, for both Princess Leia and for...
I thought CGI Carrie Fisher actually looked really good.
Except for, which
helped as well.
Two things I didn't like. I didn't like her eyes. And
there was no cocaine.
Ooh. Ooh. No, she smiled. And
you didn't like that part?
No, I didn't. I think
while escaping out of a burning wreckage...
Think about
with Vader on your ass. I'm not sure you'd get all happy about that.
She kind of smirks when she gives them the medals, but the only time she legit smiles in any of the movies is when Luke tells her the Death Star is destroyed. That was it. Big grin, big hug. So I'm not convinced that in the middle of all that death and all these rebels being killed, that she's going to get her hands on those plans and smile ear from ear. I was just like, and it wasn't the effect. It was more the choice to do that. I would have rather her preferred the, like a grim resolve of like it's a new hope, you know, steely-eyed look. That would have been Princess Leia. I thought that, honestly, what I thought was after the depression of the previous 5 minutes, they were just trying to get some modicum of joy back into all the viewers' lives before they sent them out of the theater. And so Just slap a smile on her, make her happy. Everybody, they'll feel happy too that they saw her, and then we run away. Like thieves in the night, having killed everybody in the movie.
Yeah, I just...
And you know, they could kill Jin, I didn't care. That was fine. You could kill Cassian, that was fine. But my God, it just broke my heart when they killed the two buddies.
Oh yeah, Chirrut and
I choked up. I'm going to be real honest. I had a tough time with that.
That was
very well done.
Beautiful. And him holding that thing and walking across the beach, repeating that mantra.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, oh, that was great. That was one of my favorite shots in film in the last 10 years.
Man, I think, you know, this might end up being Donnie Yen's most notable, like, widely recognized role ever.
Considering I've never heard of him before.
Yeah. He's like,
shame on you. Shame on you.
He's one of the largest stars in Hong Kong ever.
Look, I would take a bullet for the man. From now on,
yeah.
He will suffer no purchase of beer in my presence. I promise you that. Or sake, kind of... or
sake.
I hate myself. In East Texas, is sake. If I say sake, I'll get shot.
Also, that's Japanese.
Yeah. On top of that. No, but seriously, like it that's pretty cool in some way that like. You know, he's really like exploding right now. Like apparently like the rentals on iTunes for all of his other movies are like shooting up right now because everyone's discovering
I'm
him. Nice.
He's It Man, right?
He's alive.
Yes.
Okay.
He's alive and he's being that guy in other movies. That's what I'm telling myself. Cause it is a damn shame that I can't get 50 years worth of books, comics, and cartoons about those two guys. I would watch those forever. God damn, I love those characters.
I actually really appreciated, excuse me, the nod towards all the different genre archetypes.
Yeah.
Like you had the guy with the big fucking gun, the Jesse Ventura, I ain't got time to believe archetype in there. You had the pilot. It was good stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
And there's a lot of when they introduce them as to what they are, the Guardians of the Wills,
mm-hmm.
You know, the original draft of Star Wars, the Force was not called the Force. It was called the Force of the Wills. And the Wills were actually the one that wrote when Star Wars is being told, it's a story of long ago in galaxy far, far away. The question is, who the hell's telling the story? And in the original drafts, it was the Wills, the race of the Wills that were telling the story. Wills is spelled Whills, not Wills like willpower. And so for them to make a reference to the Wills and then about the force of others, that's also comes from Lucas's original draft, where it wasn't just the force of the others and the force of the Wills. So bringing all that stuff into it, and that was just badass.
Cool. I didn't know about that. That's pretty neat.
Well, again, with all those Easter eggs that they worked in, you could tell it was a labor of love. These guys did their fucking homework for sure.
Oh, my God. Did
man,
they?
I mean, I think I follow Gary Whitta on Twitter and follow him for a while now. And I remember when he was working on the film, I didn't know at the time that's what he was doing, but he was like posting like he worked from Lucasfilm. Like it's not one of those things where like the script writers can like go hang out at home and write on their own, like in their own space. Like apparently
they
had to go to Lucasfilm headquarters and like research the shit out of that thing to make sure it fit the way it needed to do.
Yeah.
That's actually where they got the idea for the archives.
Ah, okay.
you got
George Lucas's basement.
You got to get a dead guard hand and place it on there and take control of the robot.
The right hand.
Yeah. That robot, man. What's his name? Did a great job.
Alan Tudyk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wash once again.
I know, Wash is spectacular. Bortizzavi, you killed the Cowboys, you son of a bitch. God damn it.
Are they losing now?
Oh, God.
It's 23-20 and they just fumbled.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Oh, damn it. So let's see, what else was badass? Seeing Vader dangling in a back to the tank, staring out at the place where he killed his wife and was burned alive. I gotta say, I love that.
I noticed that that was the one planet they didn't like put a label on. You know, that put a little. Yeah.
You know, the cool thing is in Rebels, there's a reference to Mustafar.
Really?
And the characters, you know, none of them know any of that stuff. But the one rumor they do know about the planet is that's where Jedi go to die. Oh. And they say that in the cartoon. So the fact that Vader's there camping out pretty much, you know, that paints the picture. So as soon as I realized, oh, shit, they put Vader's home on or at least his crib. I don't know if it's his home, but where Vader hangs out is there. I'm like, oh, great. So whenever they find a Jedi, they bring him to Vader, and he plays with him like a cat playing with a mouse and kills him there. So that added a whole wrinkle to it. And seeing Vader's body, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, there's hardly anything left. Oh, when Saw Gerrera says there's not much of me left. That was great. That was great.
Listen, he wasn't lying.
Right? Oh, no shit.
Yeah, the guy was having a bad – he was having a hard life.
Oh, when they put the bag over Chirrut's head, and he goes, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yes.
They nailed Star Wars right to the wall with that. And how about them making it where you're actually, like, going against the rebellion for a little bit when Cassian's going to kill the dad and then the X-Wings are coming to bomb the thing? Mm-hmm. I really liked how they, you know, tee it up where you're like, oh, God, we don't want the rebels to win here. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, an examination of, you know, what rebels have to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't Battlestar by a long shot, but.
Yeah.
How the fuck could they? I mean, although what would I not give to have an Admiral Ackbar series that turned him into Admiral Wavos? Man, that'd be badass. They could do it.
No, listen, I went quiet because my mind immediately started like thinking of how that would look.
Oh, I want to see that movie. Where the hell is that? Oh.
Yeah.
Just watching Admiral Ackbar like shave his gills angrily. <That'd> be awesome. Stupid.
Awesomely stupid.
Oh yes. I know I'm forgetting a whole lot. Bail Organa was great.
Yeah.
Jimmy Smits is knocking it out of the fucking park. And I'm also real happy that the girl that they got to play Mon Mothma back in episode 3 and then she got cut from the film.
Yeah, she's back, yeah.
Yeah, and they added her in as a deleted scene on the Blu-ray.
Correct.
And the fact that they got her to actually be Mon Mothma here, that made me happy. I was like, oh.
Well, you'll notice that she was 100% not CGI.
Yeah.
They recast it, and it worked. Look
just
at that.
Just a real human being.
Yeah, but again, she's far enough away in age from when the final movie happens where you see Mon Mothma that you could pull it off.
Yeah.
Again, if it was 5 minutes later and you see Mon Mothma in episode 4, I don't know that you can do that. I think I would be pulled out more.
I think you find a terrific actor, and they do incredible things with makeup.
I
don't think Cushing is that hard of a replacement.
I don't know.
I will say
old
this.
British guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me you can't just like, you know, do Ian McKellen up for like 2 scenes to let him crush it.
Oh shit!
You just blew his mind, man.
10 years ago, yes, but Ian McKellen looks too old now.
He has gotten older. It's true.
I know, it's sad.
How about Dumbledore?
Have you? No, I don't think so. Have you guys seen the comparison of young Mark Hamill to Sebastian Stan?
It's fucking creepy, and I have seen it.
I have not.
Jesus. I had no idea. I never looked at him and thought, oh, that's fucking Mark Hamill. But I'll be damned if you put the picture side by side.
Yeah, it's like the same dude. It's amazing.
Yeah. That got me real hopeful that you could get a good actor to do some young Luke scenes if they need to.
Hmm.
I will say, as much as I enjoyed Vader, I think they may have to retire the character. James Earl Jones, first time, sounds older.
Oh, you're right. But they've got another guy that does a really good Vader. They've used him in the cartoon and some of the video games.
And it might be time to hand off that baton.
I will say,
as much as it hurts to admit that.
Well, I guess what I'll say is that this other guy that does Vader's voice, it's not as good as young James Earl Jones, but it is at least as good as now elderly James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Oh, totally. It's why it's hard to hear Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime now these days.
Yeah.
In the Michael Bay's interminable Transformers long novel.
It's never going to end. It's never going to end.
No, it keeps going back in history somehow. I don't know how or why.
Oh, my God. The latest trailer, I was just.
Oh.
You know, I keep on making the gag to myself because I don't have anybody else to tell the joke to. But it's like Michael Bay is just making these movies for me to laugh at like Mel Brooks did. He's doing it. He's in on the joke and going full tilt on it. But
he's not. It's not an intentional spoof.
right, exactly. And I keep on thinking, it can't possibly be any more than what he already done. And then I see the next trailer, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, it is. And I'm not talking about just his Transformers films. I'm just talking about from one Michael Bay film to the next. I think they're all Transformers movies. They're all in one continuity.
Well, they pretty much are at this point, all Transformers movies.
Yeah.
Well, going back to Titanic, I think they're all in the same shared universe.
Titanic.
Titanic is James Cameron? Dude.
It would have been awesome if the ship wore a Transformer.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Wait a minute. You guys don't remember the Michael Bay Titanic?
Oh, God.
Titania Prime? No, I don't.
You never saw
Did we get scooped here?
You never saw the fake trailer for Michael Bay's Titanic?
Oh, the joke one?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it. Where everyone, as they fall down, they blow up.
right.
No, I have not seen this, no.
Oh, my God. It's like when the China start falling off the cabinet, each one of the pieces of China explode. You know? When the ship breaks in half, it explodes. When the top half hits the water, it explodes.
It's worth a YouTube look, Ariel, for sure.
Okay, I'll check it out.
You've got to watch it. Anyway, that explains my reference, at least.
So, how do you get Rogue War in total here? Rogue One. I'm turning into Saw Palmetto here. I'm confused. Don't know what's going on.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to rank it. It certainly tops all the prequels.
For sure.
It's.
How do we feel about a Star Wars film without the Jedi?
I think it. I'm convinced that Chirrut would have been a Jedi had the Jedi not been wiped out. Now, I know they keep saying he wasn't a Force sensitive. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. I know that there's badass. I don't know. So you guys tell me, do you think that he could at least sense the Force, if not use it outright? Or was it literally like, No, we're introducing a whole new element to the Star Wars universe, which is badass kung fu people that can do incredible things without the Force, but can do just badass kung fu.
I think they should keep it ambiguous and just do whatever they want with it going forward, because having badass kung fu people is never anything I'm going to say don't put it in, in terms of...
No, I get you. I'm just wondering, what do you think you saw in the 2 hours there? Were you seeing somebody that was Force sensitive, or were you seeing a badass kung fu guy?
I just think they made it too ambiguous for me to make a decision one way or the other.
When he took his gun, aimed it into the sky, and shot down a TIE fighter, you think no?
Yeah, I've seen dudes do that in kung fu movies. So
okay, that's hard. You're more expert.
I felt like his death scene is an answer to that question. He prays, quote unquote, to the Force, and the Force guides him to that switch that, saves the whole damn day, essentially. I don't know if that makes him a Jedi, but that definitely makes him, someone who was a believer and his faith was rewarded.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. I think you can believe in the Force and not be a Jedi, not be a Force manipulator or something.
Well, let me ask you this. What he says is that the Jedi, the Force is not done with him. Because he hasn't met his destiny yet. And obviously his destiny was flipping that switch. But does that mean that now explains why all of the good guys survived the movies was because the Force was playing a direct hand in all of it.
Hmm. Partially, but it also obeys your commands.
True.
Mic drop.
So it was written, so shall it be.
Yeah. Have the Cowboys lost yet?
actually,
speaking of the Force.
They're driving down the field right now because they're not done with their destiny. As much as you've tried to kill them.
I really didn't try. I thought it was okay. They were clicking, and then no. Just
Prescott is 32 for 36.
Oh, God.
So any question about, let's bring Romo in. This ought to shut Colin Cowherd the fuck up. They're on about the 16-yard line with 3 minutes left, 3 minutes, 41 seconds left in the game.
Oh, my goodness.
And they fell short on third down and two. Because what better play to run than a sweep to the outside?
Don't run behind Zach Martin. Why would you do that?
Right, right. You've got the best offensive line in football. Let's run away from them as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Scott Linehan really has been very odd with his play selection the last couple of weeks.
You're exactly right. Last couple of weeks.
Thank you, Troy.
Well said, say some more. Now here comes Big Dan Bailey. Here we go.
Comes the long D.
Right down the pipe. All right, Big Dan Bailey got it back. That puts him up by 6 points with 3 minutes left in the game. And every person in Tampa Bay just threw up. So, Rogue Wars.
Credit, it's spreading.
I posted on Facebook all the posters from all the Rogue Wars movies.
Oh, yeah.
It starts Rogue -2, Rogue -1. No, -3, -2, -1, Rogue 0, Rogue 1. That's brilliant.
Who's leading in the prequel ledger, X-Men or Star Wars?
Oh.
Who has more?
Well, wait a minute. Oh, God.
I think Star Wars is winning by one.
Yeah. But hang on.
Wait, do you count X-Men Origins Wolverine? Does that count?
Well, I was going to go not only with that one, but at the end.
Yeah, I would.
Days of Future Past, they went back and rewrote where 3 never happened. So it's technically a prequel to 3.
What?
I count Days of Future Past, so I count First Class.
Yeah, it's definitely a Days of Future Past,
Apocalypse, okay. And then you have X-Men Origins Wolverine. So that's 4, so they're tied.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
And then you have another Han Solo.
I broke my heart today. In my empire of dirt.
So are we excited for...
We are excited.
More of these non-episode X films moving forward?
Hey, yeah.
I didn't love it. I liked it, you know?
I am. I love Rogue One. And if you can have people make movies like that, then I'm all for it. And I don't think it has to be as tied in to Star Wars. I mean, hell. It wasn't a non-Star Wars movie. Shit, it was Star Wars 3.9, you know, or 3.94.
But yeah, 6 minutes.
.06 away from 4. But it was so intricately tied with 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they have to do that. I think you could just go in that universe and tell any old fucking story you want. The rumors of
they don't appear to be doing that though, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, they're going to do Han Solo.
We're getting the young Han Solo Chronicles.
Yeah, the Boba Fett one seems to be toast right now. But my understanding is literally as we speak, Kathleen Kennedy and the Disney execs are powwowing over the latter part of December, the holiday period, and early January to kind of go, okay, where are we going for round 2? So after they're talking about after 9.
Oh, I know what you meant.
And
Star Wars Phase 2.
Oh, that was more for our listeners, for America.
Yeah,
I knew you knew. But hang on, Jameis Winston's going long. Jameis Winston went too long. There's the Jameis Winston face. Fourth down and 18, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not making that up.
No, I know.
Okay, so what the fuck are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Star Wars Episode 3.94.
That's right.
Star Wars Phase 2,
right.
Yeah.
I'd love for him to. I look at this as when we were growing up, we were inflicted with Western movies out the wazoo. Tons of them. And then it eventually quickly moved away and into other types of films. But there was a whole lot of TV shows that were Westerns. And I'm convinced it was because our parents grew up with Westerns when they were kids. And so what were they going to market to? Well, they're going to tell the Western stories, but they made badass Westerns into movies later that our parents would go and watch. Maybe not your parents, but I know mine are that way.
Give me a for instance there.
Oh, God.
Like, so you're raised on, like, Product X.
You're raised on Gunsmoke. And
okay.
Then you go to the movies when you're older and watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And so my thought is that we get this – or same thing with even going back further with like Flash Gordon, you know.
Sure.
And, hell, that's where the original Star Wars movies came from. And now what we're getting is we're the target audience. And, shit, yes, they're going to make whatever they think the target audience will go to see the most, which is comic book movies and Star Wars movies. And they are right. And
Disney owns the rights to a huge chunk of both of those things.
Well, the new hotness are cinematic universes.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of whether you need one or that makes sense.
Thank God.
Because it's like, oh, my God, sequels we know they'll go see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, you know they're kicking themselves for ending the Lord of the Rings universe.
Well, shit, Tolkien never even did that.
Tolkien ended it with
his death. He died. That's why he stopped writing those stories.
Wait a minute. He wasn't writing sequels, though. He was writing prequels.
He wrote everything, literally. Like, it's like from the moment of creation until he died, he wrote in that. That was a 80-year odyssey for him.
Right,
that's why they're constantly finding shit in his bathroom and his closet.
But unless I'm mistaken, The Lord of the Rings was the end. That was the end of the Third Age, and all the stories he wrote
after
The Lord of the Rings were
It's true.
You know, now you're right. He was essentially writing books of the fucking Bible, because he was. He goes back and writes the Silmarillion, and that's literally how the universe was born, all the way up to The Lord of the Rings.
He wrote that. You're confusing published with wrote.
Okay.
The only things that he ever published, he finished to completion, were The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings. But he was working on that dating back to World War I.
Right.
Building Middle Earth.
Yeah, but at this point, most of the stuff he wrote was either taken by his son and published or
absolutely.
Or taken by somebody and published.
Yeah.
And I've never teased out exactly how much was him versus somebody else. I just know that ultimately, he wrote the very end of the Third Age into The Lord of the Rings. And so when they show The Lord of the Rings first, you know, if they were being smart, they would have done Silmarillion and all these other things and try and build up the universe.
Oh, no. No, that's not smart. That's the opposite of smart. There's a reason the Silmarillion is not committed to film.
Oh, well, yeah, it's, of course.
It's the book of Genesis, which does not play well in a film.
No, I know, but... You couldn't take the Silmarillion as it is and turn it into a film, but you could sure take pieces of it and turn it into a universe. Mm-hmm. You absolutely could. But if you've already ended that universe, that's a tougher road to hoe, as you can tell with The Hobbit versus The Lord of the Rings.
Do you not feel like The Hobbit films are good?
No. Do you?
I think that they're testament to how different those two bodies of work are. The Hobbit is a kid's story. Lord of the Rings is not.
Okay, I agree, but are you talking about the book or the films?
The movies. I think the movies are a reflection of how different the novels are from one another.
Oh, but I think the movies, while the book was a kid's story, the movies were trying to make the kid's story into something else badass to have the shared universe story like we're first talking about.
Well, I think they were definitely on the search for more money, as Mel Brooks once coined it. But
yes.
But I do think the tone is the same as the book. It's much more whimsical.
Yeah, I agree. But,
we had that Boston ass take on the Goblin King, for example.
Yeah, I just think it was a pale comparison to the Lord of the Rings work.
Oh, for sure, but it's just not, the story is just not as compelling.
Right. Right. But I guess my whole point was that the new hotness is the shared universe stuff. Mm-hmm. That they started with the end on the Lord of the Rings, and there's not that much stuff. You can't go any further in the future, and so then you're left going backwards in the past, and the stories aren't as strong.
I think if they had it to do over again, it would be a 7-year series on HBO.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Hey, give them 15 years, and we'll get that.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe 6 minutes, the way that, you know, peak TV's going.
Yeah, it literally picks up with Frodo on the boat.
Coming from Crackle.
Oh, wow.
Now streaming on the Waze app. Wait, what?
What? While you wait in traffic, watch this.
Wow.
We got to move those apps, gentlemen.
Hey, I got a question for you. This is the question I asked my wife after the first viewing.
No, I don't know where to get Star Wars Epic Destiny.
Damn it.
I looked, you son everywhere. Of a bitch, because you made me intrigued about it.
I've looked everywhere. I can't find the son of a bitch. I've been playing a lot of Epic Duels.
You're a good man.
Did we just see the first gay couple in Star Wars?
First gay couple?
Yep. I'm talking about our boys.
Oh, those
Tarkin and Vader?
No. God damn it.
Chirrut and Baze?
Yeah.
Help me out here, gentlemen. I don't know any other names except for Saul Palmetto and Jenner. So.
Donnie Yen's character and the
oh, okay, yeah.
Donnie Yen's character. Nothing seemed overly romantic between them.
No, I didn't see anything that was overly romantic. I just saw two guys that were like best buddies. But I asked myself, I was like, you know, if that were my best friend laying there, that I'd be exactly the same way. But I thought if that was like their partner, they'd be that way too, without doing anything, without saying one word about it. And so I was like, well, if they were going to do that in Star Wars, I would bet that'd be the way they would do it in a Star Wars movie. So I'm real curious if anybody else...
So you're not a Poe and Finn shipper, then?
What?
You need to get on Tumblr more, sir.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
I put a lot of sounds together. To my I now know what you were saying. Jesus, it was just a goddamn jacket.
Or was it?
Now I'm never loaning anybody my jacket.
Well, no guy.
That's right. No woman. Apparently that could be taken to mean something more than just you're cold and I was being gentlemanly.
What did you guys think of the and I think this was actually unintentional, but I think that it's there, the idea that by going multiracial with the cast like they did versus a bunch of old white guys.
You know, that occurred to me on the second viewing.
Yeah, it's like, was that intentional or did they just screw that up because they were trying to do something correct?
Well.
And they accidentally got Rage Against the Machine, a Star Wars story.
Well, I think all of Star Wars is that, though. I mean, but in 30 years ago.
Blue-eyed, blonde-haired Luke Skywalker would say otherwise.
Well, no. But what I was going to say was 30 or 40 years ago, it was against the British. So it wasn't against the whites. It was against the British.
A specific kind of whites.
It was more American colonialism.
Sure.
That has now evolved into down with whitey.
I think that was the working title.
I think you just got the working title for this podcast. Down with whitey.
Wow.
As epitomized by the character of Saul Palmetto.
Rogue Wars. Down with Whitey. Featuring Saul Palmetto. Jesus. Hey, you got the tears out of me. All right, good job, gentlemen. Oh my God, that was great. That was great. That hurt. Bravo.
I'm just calling it like I saw it.
Oh, man.
And I was confused.
You made me laugh so hard. I don't know what I'm talking about. Down with Whitey. Yeah. I did get the impression it's like, no, there are no good white people in that movie. And it's not that that's bad per se, but it kind of makes me feel bad that all the bad guys were white people. White men.
Hey, Mon Mothma was
that's was true. White.
Oh, that's true. I feel better.
Jimmy Smits is not
though. No. There are a bunch of, I mean, they had all the old white guys as the squadron leaders. They brought that footage back from the 70s.
That's true, yeah.
Dug that out of a garbage can.
They had white.
White who?
Mon Calamari, Akbars.
Oh, well, okay. They're crustaceans. I don't really know of it.
It was more purple, I want to say.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
White underbelly.
For any good white representation. I'll take what I could get in that movie.
Mads Mikkelsen having a good year this year, though.
No shit. That was good stuff.
Little Caecilius, little Galen Erso. Not bad.
Now, help me out. Wasn't he in Doctor Strange?
Yeah, Caecilius.
Yeah, Caecilius.
Oh, was that his name?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. I thought it was something else.
But you got all the rest of these motherfuckers' names? How is that possible?
I didn't get any names out of that movie. Much like your Rogue Wars experience.
That's interesting. Well, what each of us pick up on then?
I like the R2 and C-3PO reference.
Oh, God. Could those two please be over? Just so many movies with those guys. They even had their own cartoon series.
But it was bad, so that didn't count.
I think what Cyrus is saying is it all counts, and that's why they need to stop.
I can see it. I know about it. I don't like it.
Got a talent.
Oh, man. It's pretty good. Pretty adult. I don't know how I feel about that, but at least not yet. But I did enjoy it.
Well, I took my daughter, and she loved it.
Okay, that's cool.
And I asked her how she felt about all the good guys dying at the. Actually, I warned her before we went to go see it because she dressed up as Jin.
And oh no!
Oh man!
Right. And so I had to spoil the movie for her because, you know, don't want to take her in there and have her be devastated.
Now, honey, before we go in, Daddy wants to remind you, life is pain.
That's right. Oh, and so we had a good conversation about being mature enough and old enough to understand that sometimes winning doesn't...
Sometimes the actress just won't sign a multi-picture deal.
That's right. Winning doesn't always look like winning. But, again, this is the same daughter that was totally fine watching Han Solo get stabbed through the heart. And I brought that up to her. And she said, yeah, but I like to pretend he's still alive, which made me feel good because I asked her, I said, well, how do you think he got away from the exploding planet?
And then you crushed her because she hadn't considered that yet?
She had forgotten about that part, and then she teared up. And I was like, oh, I'm a good father. I did.
My work here is done.
Right. No, he's dead. He's dead.
Oh, my God. You trolled your own oldest daughter. That's amazing.
I did. I wanted her to be weeping with me.
Like accidentally, but you did it.
Right. But I guess she saw that she loved the whole dang thing.
That's good.
And you know what did it? Seeing Princess Leia at the end. That was
smiling.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there going, oh, well, okay. The first time I saw the movie, I came out like, eh. And then after watching my daughter's reaction and going, ah, that's why they did that with Princess Leia at the end. I get it.
Yeah.
Because it works on the kids. I'm sure somebody at Disney had
it. How did the younger ones do?
I didn't take them.
Okay.
No. My wife and I talked it over. I had a ticket for my middle one. And we were like, no, all the good guys dying. You know, you can't see that when you're in kindergarten, and that's not you.
Yeah, not since Revenge of the Sith. I wanted to ask one of my parent friends. You know, do you think your kids could handle a Star Wars film? It had been a while.
Yeah, well, a third grader can totally handle Rogue One, no problems there. Gotcha. A kindergartner can't. Now, ask me about in between there, and I wouldn't be able to answer. Man, that's tough. That's real tough. Somewhere between you know, 6 and 9 is that movie's just right on the cusp. And even then, I mean, I felt like I had to spoil the movie for my older one just to make sure she'd be, you know, understand how we could talk about it before we went in there.
Yeah.
I think going in cold, there'd be a lot of kids just, oh my God, because they don't leave any question.
Single battery.
they steady kill every one of those characters. No doubt. They no question. They kill some stormtroopers too.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh hey, what about that one scene where it was just a random trooper, a good guy trooper, and like the other guy gets shot, and he like yells out no and goes to his buddy. I thought that was spectacular. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Just some no-name nobody, and they gave that guy more gravitas than the entire prequel trilogy.
Yeah. Right on.
Cool.
Also liked Cassian's debate over whether or not to shoot Galen or not. I liked that scene, and I liked the argument they had afterwards. I thought that was a well-written argument when he's, you know, got all the reasons in the world. She says, you can't talk your way out of this. And I thought that was a great – if she could have directly quoted Jules, I would have been happy. But
yeah. Yeah, it was a very brave thing to do to leave that in there, actually.
Yeah, and seeing Yavin 4 was fun. All right, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. What did you think?
Awesome. It's just as magical as the first one was when I first saw it.
I agree.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm all about Baby Groot. I do have to ask, are you guys aware, are they doing Vin Diesel's voice, but baby-izing it now? Or is that just a completely different voice altogether?
Good question. I don't know.
Look it up. I'm going to step away from AFK 1 second, guys. Get back in a minute.
Sure.
You guys talk, though.
So, speaking of Vin Diesel.
Fate of the Furious?
Fate of the Furious. I almost feel bad bringing this up with Mortizavi AFK, but hot damn, what did you think?
It's just as crazy as the last few, so I'm in.
I need car races with submarines more often.
So IMDb says that Vin Diesel is playing the voice of Baby Groot.
Ah, all right. That's great. They literally got a famous person, and then they're changing his voice where you can't tell it's a famous person.
You know.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's like in James Earl Jones, and then just changing it all where you can't tell it's James Earl. What do you think about Vin Diesel being the bad guy?
I mean, you know, they're going to reverse it eventually, but it's...
No. I want him going full bad.
Full bad?
I want him to have the Saw Gerrera haircut halfway through the film.
And then get into another epic fight with The Rock, because that's was great in like 5, I think.
Yes. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Everybody should fight The Rock.
I think the whole Fast and Furious franchise at this point is just a giant whatnot. Why not?
Yeah. I love it. And you know, what I'm really excited for is like when they stop doing them and they'll do that for about 10, 15 years. And then they'll do like an Expendables, but with all the Fast and the Furious characters. And it'll literally be the same characters, just in the – it'll be Expendables 15, you know? I like the idea of the Expendables being as action movie stars age to the point where they're normally out of action movies. They then graduate and they go into the college-level course of Expendables films where they wrap up their careers until they die, or they move on to Arrow.
Oh, they move on. They're in Arrow flashbacks from then on.
By the way, have you guys fully vetted the Alien saga on the Arrowverse?
I saw all of it, yeah.
But have you gone through it on the podcast?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it, I think, last time.
Okay, all right.
Well, I want to say we did, but my memory's a little hazy, actually.
I haven't covered the latest podcast, so I didn't know if y'all had hit that or not. I couldn't remember when your last cast was versus when that quadrilogy finished.
Yeah, I want to say we did, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your grade for the film?
For Rogue One?
Yeah, Rogue Wars.
Yeah, I mean, A+ for me. I really enjoyed it. I think it's, you know, it's great to, like, go into a Star Wars movie twice now and feel like, hey, yeah, this is Star Wars. This is what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah, for me, it's like you got to have 2 points to make a line. You know, and for The Force Awakens, kick ass is great. But when the next one comes out and it kicks ass too, now you got a line.
Yeah, I mean, it's Disney, right?
To the bank.
It's yeah, exactly. It's hard for them to fuck it up, I think, given how they treat other franchises, you know.
I don't know. Iron Man 2 wasn't that great.
That's the one.
Actually, I feel like time has been very kind to that film. I think Iron Man 2 is a misunderstood project.
No, I agree. I'm not saying it's bad. I that's why I just said it wasn't that great. But seeing what they've done with all the other – I mean, Iron Man 2's at the bottom.
This is worth getting into real quick because in our previous episode, I threw Civil War under the bus. Ariel, I'm curious. What's the worst Marvel Studios film for you?
Shoot, that's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does not count.
No, films only, right? Films only.
I mean, it does in my heart.
Well, me too, but...
I'm enjoying the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. quite a bit. I think I think that show's improved every season.
I agree.
Every season's an improvement over the last one.
I agree.
Man, that's a hard question. Because I think Incredible Hulk kind of sits towards the bottom. That counts, FYI.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about
it. It does.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's fair.
Yeah, you know. That's the bottom. Yeah. I changed mine.
You're very persuasive, Ariel.
Well, look.
Didn't take much.
If the film's so bad.
It really didn't.
If the film is so bad that I did not even characterize it as being part of the Marvel pantheon.
If I forgot that it was cinema, that's pretty bad.
I mean, you had someone from that movie come back and be in the movie this year in Civil War.
You're right. Yeah.
Yep, that happened.
And nobody remembered it.
You know, that's really weird, though, about how they kind of, you know, if you count that as part of the Marvel pantheon, then it's like saying, well, they started the Marvel pantheon before they really knew they were starting the Marvel pantheon. Does that make sense? Have I said pantheon enough?
One more time.
Pantheon.
There it is.
Down with Whitey.
Yeah, I don't think I can put that on iTunes. I think I'll have to come up with a different title. I suspect they will not be happy with that.
Really? Oh, man. I'm sad. Okay, well...
As sad as you were after you saw The Incredible Hulk?
Wait a minute. Hang on. A second ago, Cyrus, you said that you put down Civil War. Are you saying that's what you think's the worst Marvel film?
I'm tempted to go that way.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You are dead to me.
But it's not bad. I still like it.
Yeah, it's just you have to rank them. And so
you're telling me that you think Iron Man 2 is better than Civil War?
I do. In all seriousness, Civil War is not at the bottom. I do have it towards the bottom, though, for sure. I probably have either The Dark World or Iron Man 3 at the bottom, if I'm being 100% honest. And as Ariel points out, The Hulk is not great.
Wow.
But I still enjoy all of them. So
for sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, pick your worst cookie or something. I mean, it's just like.
Yeah. I'm going to grow one. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you.
We're being a little unfair. That's not a Saul Guerrero haircut. That is a Mr. Glass haircut.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Been misappropriated into a galaxy far, far away.
Exactly.
Oh, but who wore it first in the chronology of the films?
I'm trying to go back and think of any other films back in time that anybody sported a haircut like that.
It wasn't a movie, but Don King had that, rocked that pretty good.
What's that?
It wasn't a movie, but Don King ran with that for years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That damn near was a film.
You've been listening to Full of Sound and Fury Podcast. I've been your host, Cyrus Mordozavi. Follow me at risingimproductions.tumblr.com for podcast and other assorted awesomeness. With me tonight has been Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Also with this, also of Austin, Texas.
You start laughing right off the bat, huh, son of a bitch? Also with us.
No, I was just trying to think of a funny way to – funny thing to run with, and I actually just kind of failed. I was laughing at myself, to be honest. No, but last in my cue line, but first in our hearts, from Austin, Texas, is Keyshawn Xavier.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is one with me. I think I fucked that up.
I am the Force. The Force is with me.
I am the Force, and the Force is with me. No, that's not it either. God damn it.
It's been 6 minutes. We've already forgotten.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. There we go.
I thought it was I am the Force.
No. It's I'm one with the Force.
Ah.
The Force is with me. That's it. It's certainly not I am the Force. Well, that's great, though.
Well, that's the ninth Fast and the Furious film, The Fate of the Force.
There you go.
Ten is I am the Furious.
Full of Fast and Furious.
I am the Fast, I am the Furious. That's a great name for that franchise.
But that's like longer than Batman versus Superman.
Oh, I want that to be a film. I want it to be like Hardcore Henry, but Fast and the Furious. I am the Fast, I am the Furious. That's so stupid.
Woo.
I am the Force.
Now, this is the dumbest outro ever, but I will proceed. This and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and or SoundCloud.
I'm trying to shut up. I can't.
This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2016.